Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory 8-count, and Foreman is as poised as can be.
Let's get it started in here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and running.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes!
Running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and
in this context, there's no disrespect. So when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for
comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good!
Let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
What's up, everybody? We're here at the Sporting Edge. This is your host, Roz. I'm here with the other major host, the beautiful, the one, the only, the Xander Horwitz. Mr. Witz, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty good. Doing better than my picks last 2 weeks, and particularly last weekend. Another Ofer weekend. I haven't had too many of those in my time on the show, but it was absolutely brutal. Couple great games. Steelers and Chiefs, Packers, Cowboys, and then a couple clunkers, and the Texans and Patriots and Seahawks and Falcons. But I thought we could kind of break down the games first. Seahawks, Falcons, Seahawks just didn't seem ready to play to me, Roz. Atlanta came out and had that enormous second quarter, and, they never really looked back. I mean, Tevin Coleman, Devonta Freeman took over this game, and they were just too much for Seattle. But really disappointing game for the Seahawks. I thought they had a major shot going into this game. I don't think I've given Atlanta enough credit this season. They continue to prove me wrong. But, yeah, very disappointing as the Seahawks kind of went out there and laid an egg.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was a tough game for me to watch, having been the Swami. And we have to correct this. I know the Swami's already taken by Chris Berman, but he is retiring. Yesterday was his last Swami prediction show, so I am the new Swami. We learned that the Houdini is an escape artist, and although I'm trying to escape Xander most of the time, I cannot take that title. So, yeah, like Xander was saying, the Seattle one's tough for me because it gave me my first playoff loss. And Seattle really had an opportunity in this game. And like Xander said, the second quarter is where we started to see it turn the other direction. Russell Wilson's head wasn't in the game. I don't know if it's just him on the road, or it was
Future on the sideline.
And or was it Future on the sideline? They were playing Future during timeouts, so nobody knows. Well, I did hear, though, Future sent him and Sierra's son a Falcons jersey yesterday after the Falcons win over the Seahawks. But yeah, very tough game. Russell Wilson didn't look super in. We also learned Richard Sherman's been playing with potential undisclosed injury most of the season. No Earl Thomas, and I think the no Earl Thomas is where it really came into play, and they have really been struggling when that Legion of Boom is not all together on the field. So tough 16-point loss for the Seahawks. And you know what? That's a team that now needs to improve. They cannot bank on what they've been banking on the last couple of years. They're two Super Bowl years. The team needs to add something. They lost something when they lost Bruce Irving. This team defense needs to become more aggressive, and I think they really need to start using Jimmy Graham next season. More packages for him, and I hope that Thomas Rawls and CJ Procise can stay healthy, because I think this is a good Seahawks team. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the future. But like you said, another flake game was the Patriots and Texans, and I know you have some strong feelings about this game.
This game, it was one of the most upsetting non-covers, I think, I've ever had. Just based on the fact, I mean, I knew going in, taking the team plus that many points, I mean, the game was suited to be a blowout, and in the first quarter it looked like it was going to be exactly that. But the Texans fought back. They fought back pretty hard, only to give up a late game score that eliminated the cover. You know, they lost by 18. Spread was, I think, was it like 16 and a half? It was a huge number that I thought with, you know, number one defense in the league and, you know, a possible passable Brock Osweiler could maybe get it done. They couldn't. Super upsetting. Really ruined my night. And my next night was also ruined by a couple more games. But, yeah, you know, this is typical Patriots football. They pretty much beat the crap out of the Texans in their number one defense. And Tom Brady got knocked around in this game, but, you know, did his job. They all did their job per usual and kind of slapped the Texans and Bill O'Brien across the face.
Oh, absolutely. And Tom Brady throwing two interceptions, the amount he threw all season long, pretty – that's an opportunity right there. That's where Brock Osweiler showed why he can't be your franchise quarterback. When you are given two fantastic opportunities, you're put basically in the red zone or on the opponent's 30-yard line, they had the chances to take a lead. They had the chances to score touchdowns and really kind of put the Patriots in this position they haven't been in all season, especially the way you're knocking around Tom Brady. You needed to capitalize on two of those interceptions and then the fumble in the first half off the kick return. That also put you in great space. Yeah. And so all game, the whole first half was the Patriots saying, hey, Texans, you have an opportunity here. Here's your shot to shock the world and cover that plus 15.5 spread. And then as I picked and as I went 2-2 this weekend, the Patriots were able to cover and they just ran away with it in the second half. We saw old Tom, and maybe Tom will continue to be old. I'm going to do a little play on words because he is knocked around this past week and he's coming up against a great Steelers team. I know that was a close game, but that defense is a lot better than most people are giving credit. Tell me your thoughts on the Steelers and Chiefs game. I know me and you are hurting a little bit from that.
I mean, if it couldn't get any worse for me after Houston, Chiefs game was it was undescribable. I mean, if you're going to tell me that Kansas City would not give up a touchdown and couldn't find a way to win this game, I would probably told you that you're fucking crazy, but they found a way to do it by giving up six field goals, losing 18-16. And a funny story, I'm watching the game, bite my fingernails the whole time, super nervous. The Chiefs finally punch it in. They go for two. They make it. Right as that guy caught that ball, I start yelling. I run outside my house, running around like a madman for about 30 seconds. I come back in to my roommates giving me that look like, you know, they just lost a dog. And immediately before they said anything, I already knew. I mean, they didn't even have the heart to tell me. They're just like, and I sat down, buried my head in the pillow for the rest of the night, and yeah, that was about it. That's how that game went for me.
Yeah, no, I'm very disappointed. For the Chiefs, I think their composure, their ability to play high quality football, just kind of slipped away from them. Me and you both, we both took the Chiefs at home. We would have been right there. The Swami could have been one step close to perfect. I know Seattle had already ruined it for me, but it hurt. That game hurt, especially watching James Harrison just absolutely dominate the line. And the Chiefs couldn't have that. That holding penalty was atrocious. Travis Kelce's unsportsmanlike penalty was atrocious.
That was bad.
They played to lose that game, and Andy Reid really needs to kind of take hold of his players, hold them accountable, hold them responsible for what happened. It was a good game. I mean, I agree with you. The fact that Boswell was the only person scoring that day, it was absurd. But Sunday, it was a better day of football, and we saw prior to that game the Packers and Cowboys. We're going to be able to get into that at the next session or on the next segment of Sporting Edge. You know where to follow us, libertytalk.fm. We will be back soon with the Packers-Cowboys as well as our game picks. Hopefully me and Xander are closer than we usually have been. Maybe we'll both have locks this week. After listening to the show, you probably know that me and Xander don't really agree very often with our picks. So we'll see what happens when we return.
I better start agreeing with you.
You probably should. He'll be making more money. So thank you again, listeners. We'll be back. We're going to come out with media packages for us to follow. We very much support your following and hope to have you back next segment.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report.
bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Remember, the instant you finish it, I own your soul for...
Hey, wait. If I don't finish this last bite, you don't get my soul, do you?
Technically, no, but...
I'm smarter than the devil!
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge, everybody. So we're back, the most biased man on talk radio, talk sports. We're going to discuss our game picks right now. We're going to pick the Packers, Falcons, and the Patriots, Steelers.
Well, can we break down the Packers, Cowboys game first? Another epic defeat for me.
Another epic defeat for you, and another even more clutch victory for me. If you guys followed and listened to our show last week, not only did I pick the spread correctly, I also picked the outcome of the game to the T. I was able to call the score. I said that this game was going to be won by 3 points, and the Green Bay Packers pulled it off 34-31, and that ultimately was another reason they covered the spread. So the Houdini no longer. I'm just going to go by the magician or the Swami. I'll be the Chris Berman since he stepped down. I'll be the Swami now.
Okay. Well, you know, I missed a decent chunk of this game because I was out. I had to do some work. But, you know, I turned it back on in the fourth quarter, and I gotta give it to Dak Prescott. That was an unbelievable show, bringing his team back all the way. And I really thought the Cowboys were going to win that game after that happened. And especially the field goal, you know, it goes through the first time, and then you get the timeout that nobody thought got called. And, I was sweating because I was thinking the only chance I had was overtime. But then, you know, Mason Crosby drills it again, and it looked like it was hanging on for dear life. I thought it was going to be a pull left, and it just snuck in. Super disappointing. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, that throw to Jared Cook down the sideline, I think for me was probably one of the top 10 plays I've ever seen. You know, taking into account everything about the situation, the game, the final moments, it was spectacular. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers proves yet again, kind of proved me wrong this year, definitely proved Bubba wrong that he's still the best, or if not the best, in the top two, if you want to put Brady in there.
Yeah, and I think it's awesome to hear you say that, as the week before you said Paul Richardson had the best play you had seen in your lifetime. So it's nice that we get some Packer variability in there, and you get to see such an amazing play. I mean, it looked like Michael Jackson with the toe touch on the sideline, so... Another great win, and I think that I'm a little concerned coming into this week's picks and everything. A lot of injuries on the Packer front. Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson, Morgan Burnett, Quentin Rollins still out, and then even Geronimo Allison had a little bit of a neat tick. So,
you know who's playing, though?
Who is that?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, of course, and anybody has a chance to win with that guy on the field. So
yeah, it's hard. I mean, Packers have a ton of injuries, but, I mean, the way they played against the Cowboys, who – supposedly were the best team in the NFC. I mean, they were 13-3. They played great all year. I mean, you got to think that Green Bay is a live dog here. The one thing I really worry about, I think Aaron Rodgers can put up points with anybody, you know, no matter who's out there. But I worry about this defense because Atlanta, there's so many weapons. The fact that they've got, you know, probably the best two-headed monster at running back in the entire league. You know, Julio Jones, Taylor Gabriel, Mohamed Sanu. They got a lot of people, and Matt Ryan is truly having a terrific year. So I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on this Green Bay defense. I know they're not going to completely shut out Atlanta, but to at least slow them down.
Yeah, and I think the defense is better with Morgan Burnett on the field. I think that absolutely showed in the Dallas Packers game. Once he went out with that quad injury, the defense really started to fall in the secondary. And the secondary is already thin as it is, but to start a corner back at the safety position is nothing you ever want to do. And Dom Capers wasn't really able to figure out how to make it work in the second half, and that's why that game ultimately came back to being a close game. Also, some calls from Mike McCarthy that I probably didn't agree with at the time. Obviously, we're moving on to the next round, so McCarthy's my guy again. But we'll have to see how it works against Atlanta. I hope Burnett plays. It's playoff time. I think this is where you fight through your injuries. Give us two more games, the best games you can give, and hopefully they're Super Bowl bound. But that leads into the pick, Xander, and I'm kind of curious. We only get two games this week, so you can't really catch me anymore. But I'm very sure. Interested in hearing your picks. I think that you're going to have a good week. I'm going to be on your team this week.
Okay. Well, I'll start off the Green Bay-Atlanta game. Against my better judgment, I'm going to take the Pack. I think they're a very live dog in this situation. You know, everything accounted for. The one thing that I worry about with the Falcons is I don't know if Matt Ryan is ready for this big of a stage. You know, he's a great quarterback, but, you know, there's a very select few who have been this successful this far into the playoffs. I mean, you look at, besides Matt Ryan, all the other three guys have done it before. They've done it multiple times. I know Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl, but, you know, he's been there before. Tom Brady has been there more than anybody, and Ben Roethlisberger has two rings as well. So I think that'll play a little bit into this game. I do love Matt Ryan. I think he's had a great career so far, and he seems to be getting better. Oh, he got over a hump that a couple years ago I thought he might, you know, fade into mediocrity. He's really established himself, but Aaron Rodgers is playing possessed right now, and I have a very hard time betting against him, especially, you know, five and a half, depending on where you look right now. It's a lot of points. You know, we saw it last week. I thought the line in the Green Bay game last week was a little too high for Dallas. So I like the Packy, and the over-under, I know we don't usually do them, but I'm going to go with the Pack in the under this week. I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring of an affair than people think, but that's my pick. I like the Pack.
You like the Pack? Well, I'm right there with you. I know this is...
Of course you are.
I can't really call it a bias pick anymore. I mean, I'm 2-0 when taking the Green Bay Packers, and I'm 6-2 overall when we're doing this playoff. I had a little bit of a rough week, but the Chiefs one's kind of one of those bad beats you have, but...
Yeah.
You're back listening to the Swami, so the Swami's going to tell you what to do. So most lines have it right now at 5.5, plus 5.5 for Green Bay, and I'm going to tell you that's the way to go. I'm going to tell you to pick the Packers. It's going to be another close game, but I think, surprisingly, the Packers are going to pull away, maybe win this game by 10. Watch the score. Just when that happens, you can be like, wow, the Swami told me what was going to happen. Packers win by 10, so that gives you a 15-point cushion right there. For the over-under... it's 61. It's pretty high this week. It's a lot higher than last week's game, and they expected last week to be high. Last week was a 50-point over-under. This week it's 61, and I'm going to go with Xander on this as well. I think I'm going to take the under on this one. I think Matt Ryan's not going to get as many points as we expect against this defense, and I think Aaron Rodgers is going to hit that 30 plateau, and I think they're going to win this game 31-21.
Is that the official prediction?
I think that's one of my official predictions for the week. Yes, 31-21. When it happens, I'll let you guys call 847-302-6296. I will be your pick guy for whenever you need it. So,
okay, so we both got Green Bay in the under in game one. Game two, I think this is a lot tougher call for me. But I'm going to go with the Steelers. I think I'm another live dog action here. And like we mentioned before, major part of this game I think is going to be the ability of the Steelers to get to Tom Brady. Because, I mean, the guy like Aaron Rodgers is more of an engineer, I'd call him. Because he cannot do the things that Aaron Rodgers does outside of the pocket, really. But yet, you know, he might be the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. But I think the Steelers get to him this week. And I think the Steelers' offense erupts. I really like Brown and Bell. I mean, they're two of the best at their position. And then Ben Roethlisberger is a guy, when he's hot, I mean, he's almost as good as anybody in the league. So I like Pittsburgh, and I like the over. So I'm running with the two dogs this week, and I'm hoping they win me some money.
Yeah. So have you ever seen The Wizard of Oz, Xander? Have you ever heard of The Cowardly Lion?
Yes, I have.
And all our listeners, hopefully you've seen that fantastic movie. So we got Wits the Cowardly Lion. Afraid of large spreads, he left the Texans game. That's how he lost that one. He lost the Steelers game, picking the Dolphins. He hates the big spreads, and six isn't even that big. This Patriots team's going to win by 14 this week. I'm going to tell you why. The Killer Bees all have the flu today. Ben Roethlisberger really hasn't been performing at a level that he used to perform at in the playoffs. And I think that Tom Brady's going to take advantage. Had a rough kind of beginning in Houston. He's not going to throw two picks again. I think Tom Brady's going to come out there, win that game by 14. So take the Patriots minus six. Have I let you down on big spreads before, the Sporting Edge viewers? I don't believe so. So if you want to go with the Cowardly Lion, go with Mr. Witz. If you want to go with the Magician, the Swami, the greatest gambler of all time, you can follow me, Roz. And we're going to take the Patriots minus six all the way.
All right, so that means we have one official selection for the show. It's Green Bay plus 5.5. And if you really want to win some money this week, because I'm not the Cowardly Lion, I'm confident in my ability to pick a two-game parlay money line on Green Bay and Pittsburgh. Lock it up right now. Those teams are going to the Super Bowl. If you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm. We're getting a Facebook page going. We'll see you next segment, everybody.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. And have you been watching the markets lately? Have you been seeing the crumbling of the walls come tumbling down? Are you starting to get concerned about your long-term portfolio? Well, Bubba's got the answer here. We are now offering a brand new hedge strategy that has been only used by the major investment firms. And we've got all of the answers on how to protect that portfolio of yours without buying premium, without putting yourself in a bad position, and with the ability to still make money when the markets go up. So how would you like to protect that portfolio from going down and make money when it's going up? I can think of no better way to handle this. That's the hedging program. Go to BubbaTrading.com right now and check out our hedging program. We have two to offer, one for a bigger group and one for 10 people max. Check it out, BubbaTrading.com. Go there right now and check out the hedging program from Bubba Trading.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge. We are here and we have given you our picks. Me and Xander once again are split 1-1. Packers, I've got the Packers and Patriots. He's got the Packers and Steelers. So we've given you the lowdown. We've come at you with a bunch of football. We're going to dive back into college basketball, another area of expertise this show likes to talk about. We're going to talk about the upcoming games this Saturday. We're going to give you some bubble teams. Xander, who you liking these days in college basketball?
Well, I'll tell you who I don't really like anymore. I thought they were a team that might have been able to make a run, but Indiana, another huge injury for them. So I think that they were a team I was looking for that could possibly make a run, as I was thinking an 8 or 9 seed. But with an injury like that, I can't get the name right now.
Anunoby.
Yes.
Tough name.
That's the name. I think that definitely puts a damper on them.
Yeah, and it's tough because the Big Ten is so successful right now. I think there's a lot of good teams in the Big Ten that are going to be able to make that run that you were hoping Indiana would make. Just look at Maryland right now. Maryland's super impressive. Went on the road earlier this week and beat Iowa, where Purdue was unable to be successful. I think Maryland's kind of one of those sneaky teams right now. They're 17-2. They beat Indiana. They beat Illinois at Illinois as well. A lot of good wins. They moved into the rankings for the first time. They're ranked 25. I think they're going to move up probably to the higher 20s a little bit, maybe break into the teens. We'll have to see. But I think the Big Ten's something to watch out for. I think they're getting better. Wisconsin, obviously, we know where they're at. They're playing at Minnesota this Saturday. I think that's a great game for them. I think they need to go into Minnesota and take that win. That's another place Purdue lost. And right now, I think you have to give Purdue the edge for being the best team in the Big Ten. They did beat Wisconsin by 11. So a lot to watch for in the Big Ten because I think those teams can really make noise when dance time comes around.
Yeah, and, you know, I actually sat down and watched Kansas for the first time in a while, and, I mean, they look awfully good. You know, going into Iowa State, I mean, that was a big victory. Thought, you know, Iowa State kept hanging around, and I thought Kansas did a great job. They got one of the best point guards in the country, and, I mean, they're a scary team for me. I think a little scarier than Villanova, honestly. And UCLA, another team that's really fun to watch. You know, Lonzo Ball and Alford, two dynamic scorers. Alford just doesn't miss. I think I've watched three games. He's gone about 15 of 20 from three. Did miss a huge free throw for me, though, in that Oregon game.
Huge free throw.
Speaking of Oregon, Dylan Brooks left the game last night. They say lower leg injury. I haven't really heard much about it today, but, I mean, that pretty much kisses their season goodbye if that's a serious injury. Agreed?
I do agree with you because I think we got a first showing of what happens when Dylan Brooks isn't on the court for Oregon. They've gotten very hot. They're winners of their last 12, I believe. They're moving up the rankings, and it's unfortunate. They did play a good second half without Brooks on the court, so that might beg to differ what I'm about to say. But Brooks, when he wasn't there at the beginning of the season, Oregon had a really rough stretch. I mean, their two losses come from Brooks being off the court. Baylor, it was delivered one of those losses, and they showed how weak in the post Oregon can be. And I know Brooks isn't a post player, but he really provides a drive and kick option as well as being able to shoot from the perimeter. I think without Brooks, this Oregon team's going to fall off a little bit again. But again, like you said, Xander, no serious news has come out about it yet. They have to do some more evaluations, and we're hoping that it's not a season-long injury. This Oregon team was really getting hot at the right time. Very excited for when they do match up with UCLA again. I mean, UCLA's got a big game against Arizona this week. Like I've told you time and time again on the show, I think the Pac-12 really is something to look out for, and it would be really, really a shame if Oregon lost Dylan Brooks for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I mean, he's awfully fun to watch as well. So, Roz, you know, put a little pressure on you right now. If you had to pick a national champion today, who do you think it'd be?
Well, for the third time and the third consecutive time on the show, I'm going to go with UCLA. It's still my team to watch out for. I know what the critics are saying. They're very worried, very concerned that their defense can't hold up. I mean, two nights ago, they gave up 80 points to Arizona State, but they did win that game 102-80. I really like the scoring of this team, and my whole big thing when it comes to a tournament is you need a point guard, you need to be able to score, have the shooters ready. I mean, Isaac Hamilton went 5-6 from three-point line in the first half 2 nights ago against Arizona State. They have shooters everywhere. So I like UCLA. I think UCLA is still going to be my team, and Baylor's still my potential Final Four team. We're going to keep Baylor on the Roz track. I think I still like them a lot. They played a tough game against West Virginia, but West Virginia just lost at home to Oklahoma, so anything can happen on any given day. Keep watching out for Baylor, and UCLA is my pick to win it all.
Okay. And, you know, speaking of conferences, ACC, the possibility to put 11 teams into the big dance. I mean, I think that would be a record. Do you think they're going to do it?
I think they can. I really believe so. I mean, Duke right now is 2-3 in conference play. They're obviously going to be getting a nod for the dance when it comes down to it, Selection Sunday. The ACC is very, very powerful. And I think Clemson, although they got beat pretty bad against Louisville 2 nights ago, I think they showed that first half, like, they really fought with they're athletic and kept up with Louisville. Louisville's a very another very good ACC team that, now that we're speaking of the ACC, I think they have a shot to really bring in 11 teams this year. And if you want a value pick, I know gambling's all about the value. Right now, Duke is 9-1 to win it all. And Duke is my second favorite team to actually win the national title. I think Coach K will be back. I think that that young staff they have with Giles and Tatum is going to be ready to go. And I think you put your money, put $20 if you got it, just laying around, find it in your car.
I don't have it after last week.
I know you don't have it, but our listener, our award-winning listeners might. So if you find $20 in your car, or if your kid's just feeling generous and he hands you a $20 bill, just being like, Dad, you did a great job today, or Mom, you're a fantastic woman, just put it on Duke. Go 9-1, put $20 on it, win 180, and then you take your kid out to dinner and pocket whatever you have left. So Duke's my value champion, I believe, at this point in the season.
Okay. Do you think Michigan State has any shot?
It's tough. They had a bad loss at Ohio State. That was a game they, on the road, I know, and on the road it's tough in any college atmosphere. But that was a tough loss to watch. I mean, they had their opportunities. Miles Bridges was playing, and he's an exceptional athlete. I think if you haven't watched him yet, you really need to. He's going to be a very high pick when it comes time to enter the NBA. This year is not the year, and they're going to have to fight to even make the tournament. I mean, can you imagine a March Madness tournament with no Tom Izzo in it?
It would be a tragedy. I mean, Tom Izzo, no matter how good his teams have been, you know, whether they're the best or not, I mean, they always seem to make some noise in the tournament. I think a lot of that has to do with him. They're just a stigma, that program. They usually come to play in March. So I would love to see them get a shot, you know, making the tournament. But, yeah, they have kind of had a rough year. And I kind of want to tell everybody my pick to a national title. I think John Calipari does it again this year.
Wow.
This Kentucky team, I think they're going to be battle-tested, you know, games, like playing games against Louisville, stuff like that. You know, I know they've lost a couple, but I think the athleticness of this team, I think, is almost unmatched across the entire NCAA. I think that's going to be a major factor in them winning the title. And I think they're going to take down teams like Kansas and Villanova come tournament time.
It's an interesting pick, and I don't think it's a bad pick right now. You're welcome. The Swami knows, right? But I think
Swami only knows football.
I will see. I've been pretty good with college basketball. But anyways, back to your Kentucky point, they play South Carolina today. I think that's going to be an exceptional game in the sense that they're going to show how good they are. Exceptional in the way that I want you to know this Kentucky team is just going to run through the SEC. So I think Kentucky's going to pull this game off by 15 or more. The SEC doesn't provide much competition for this Kentucky team, but like Xander said, it's really not even about that because they play teams like Louisville. On January 28th, you're going to get that much-anticipated game where Kansas comes into Lexington. So Kentucky, they do prove themselves. They do play tough, tough teams, and I know there's arguments to be made about how poor the SEC is and that maybe that slows them down come tournament time, but like Xander said, this is a super, super athletic Kentucky team. Calipari knows it, and Malik Monk knows it. And why I bring Malik Monk up is because he's one of the best shooters I've seen this Kentucky team have in a long time, and they've had years where shooting was such an issue that it prevented them from going further in the tournament. So, Xander, you know what? Swami agrees. Let's say Kentucky's a good pick for you.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, you know, it is a little bit worrisome. SEC usually doesn't provide much competition, but, you know, I think the lack of competition can be made up with a coach like Calipari. I think he's one of the best coaches in the business on the court and recruiting-wise. I mean, recruiting, it's sickening how good he is. But I think there's no matter how young this team gets, and it happens every year basically, I think they're going to be tested, and I think they're going to run through the tournament. And I think a lot of it's going to have to do with defense, and that's why I love them. Very athletic, Malik Monk. I mean, guy's unbelievable. But that's all the time we got for college basketball today. If you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm. We'll be back after the break. We got a little Hall of Fame nods, Major League Baseball, and we got a little NBA talk. Russ Westbrook didn't get it done against the Warriors, but a lot of time left in the season. We'll be back, everybody.
Sentence, but committed no crime. So I took what I could get. And we're back for the last segment of this week. We're going to try bringing our award-winning listeners a nice new treat. We're going to do two segments within this segment. One's going to be called Wits' Corner, where Xander is going to go and give his opinion on a certain topic that is bugging him in the sports world. And then we've got Roz's Rantings, as I'm going to deliver you what's really grinding my gears these days. Mine's going to be alluding to Russell Westbrook in the NBA. And we're going to start off here at Wits' Corner talking about the Hall of Fame.
Well, I'm so pissed off that Barry Bonds has still not gotten into the Hall of Fame. He did get a boost in the percentages, so did Roger Clemens. So I think they're eventually headed there, but I think anybody who thinks that Barry Bonds doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame should get their head examined. I mean, I know the allegations, I know what is most likely true, but in an era where there was no testing, there was really nothing, and there was a ton of people doing it, and I'm not condoning it, but if you can honestly look me in the face and say that Barry Bonds is not the greatest hitter of all time or in the top five, I mean, you're lying to yourself. I don't really care. There's a ton of guys who've gotten in who have done it. And even Jeff Bagwell, a lot of suspicions around him. And I'm nothing bad. I love Jeff Bagwell as a player. And even Ivan Rodriguez, I love him as well. He's one of the greatest catchers of all time. Was very fun to watch. Allegations about him as well. I think that one of the reasons Barry Bonds hasn't gotten in is the way he's handled it. He's more or less kind of an ass, I think. I still love him. I still loved watching him play the game. I mean, he has hands down put up some of the craziest statistics ever. And, you know, the fact if he never gets into the Hall of Fame, you know, I'm going to make a proclamation he's going to get in. I know he's going to get in eventually because he has to. I think you could make a case that he is the greatest baseball player of all time. And I think the voters, they need to all wake up, and they need to vote him in next year. I'm also really salty about Vlad Guerrero getting in. I thought he should have gotten in over Tim Raines, but I understand Tim Raines last year on the ballot, prolific base stealer in the league. Just as a personal aspect, I mean, Vlad Guerrero has always been my favorite player, so it was tough to see that. I know he's going to get in next year, but it would have been really cool if he could have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. All right, time out of breath.
You're out of breath, but I'm going to deliver one more question for you. How about the argument about Barry Bonds' career before he got bigger? Or even, you said a proclamation, what are you going to award these fans with if Barry Bonds doesn't get into the Hall of Fame? I think the Sporting Edge people should be in a little bit of wager with us.
Oh, well, let me think. I guess I could shave my head. I have a beautiful head of hair right now.
Beautiful. It's amazing.
Luscious hair. It's luscious. So I think I'm going to keep it kind of growing out for the foreseeable future. But yeah, when the time comes, maybe 10 years down the road, if he's off the ballot, I will, hopefully the show is on ESPN by then. So we'll get a lot more people seeing my bald head, and yeah, I'll shave my head and I'll shave something into it. Can't think of it right now. I'll do something embarrassing. I'm a team player.
You should shave my name into it. That's what really should be happening.
Okay. All right.
And now, since you've had enough of this Hall of Fame ranting, it's my turn, because America, once again, the people, we've messed up. And this is not me making allegations about our current election that just happened. I'm just talking about sports. I'm talking about sports right now and how we were given too much power in sports. The NBA works where they give 25% of the voting to the media, another 25% to the players, and then the last 50% go to us, the fans. So I really think we are the ones to blame for this Russell Westbrook being snubbed from the starting lineup. Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double, the longest point of the season other than Oscar Robertson, and probably will end up being only the second player ever to average a triple-double all year long. Steph Curry averaging 24-6. Just the numbers aren't there. I know this isn't the Hall of Fame, or not Hall of Fame, the MVP voting. This is the All-Star game. We want to see the most prolific players, the highest stat makers. And I'm just completely upset and appalled that it won't be Harden and Westbrook in the same backcourt. I'm really hoping that Steph Curry comes out in the next couple of days and goes, I don't deserve to be the starter. I want Westbrook to play. Because if not, you know what I would do? When I'm on a basketball court and I'm getting snubbed, I'm not getting the ball, I just stop. And that's a terrible way to play. But that's what Westbrook should do.
I've seen it firsthand.
It's so tough. I don't condone it to the kids listening to the show. You fight your hardest out there, no matter what the situation. But I'm telling you, Westbrook, if you don't get in the game as a starter, don't even play. You don't even want to hang out with Kevin Durant anyway, so don't go. That's my ranting. Russell Westbrook completely snubbed, And we the voters, we the fans, because I'm not even totally in the media yet. This is my first media gig. We screwed Russell Westbrook out of that opportunity. And he's going to come back a ferocious beast next next part of the season after the All-Star break and set some more records for us.
Yeah, I do like what he said, though. Basically, when the reporters were asking him about it, he's like, you know, I don't really play for All-Star gigs. You know, it's not really my thing. I play to win championships. So, you know, this is just a minor thing, kind of a slap in the face by the fans, but it doesn't really take away what he's doing this year and what he's trying to do in the pursuit of a championship for the Thunder.
I agree. And the only statement I have, and I know I just was on Russell Westbrook's side, but what are you playing for then, Westbrook? What championships have you won, and what championship do you plan to win when you lose a game 120 to 100 to the Golden State Warriors?
It was one game.
One game. I know it's regular season too, so we can make that argument. But Westbrook hasn't beaten the big teams this year. He hasn't beaten the Warriors. I mean,
oh, it's hard when you're basically the whole team. I mean, I have to say, I think it'll be tough for a guy like that to win a championship. I don't know, by himself, definitely, but you know, the fact that they could not win that series last year was almost embarrassing, being up 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a great opportunity for him again, but Westbrook and Durant clearly weren't working out. There was a great article that came out in ESPN today saying how much their stats have changed, with Westbrook actually probably being the biggest beneficiary of Kevin Durant leaving. I mean, Westbrook basically handed Kevin Durant the MVP award, being the so-called role player for that two-man star like tandem. And now that he's alone, he's going to take his first MVP to himself this year. And I know that this league's about winning championships, but it's tough when you're a solo star on a team like the Thunder and have Victor Oladipo being your so-called Kyrie Irving or Klay Thompson. It'll be tough. It'll be tough for Westbrook.
Yeah, it will be, but no, the guy, he's awfully fun to watch. I mean, he's
super fun to watch. Got to go to the Madhouse on Madison at the UC. Got to watch him play against the Bulls in just an absolutely ugly game. But he was fantastic. One rebound shy of a triple-double. Steven Adams decided to steal a rebound away from Westbrook, preventing him from that. I don't know why, what happened there. Miscommunication. But he, like you said, Xander, he's exceptional to watch.
Yeah, and, you know, are there any players in the league you think that could possibly come over and help him win a championship? I mean, this guy comes to mind for me because I think they're missing a really big presence to be DeMarcus Cousins. I don't really think that would ever happen, but that could be a fantastic show if you paired those guys up together.
Hey, Cousins, great option. Anthony Davis, great option. But here's one. And the Swami is going to put his title down for a second because this is just out-of-the-park speculation. A lot of talks this week about Jimmy Butler and the Chicago Bulls.
Ooh.
A lot of talk about maybe him being traded during the trade deadline. You want to talk about a guy who I think goes in, is great for a locker room, a great teammate, and won't steal Russell Westbrook's thunder? I think Jimmy Butler's a guy. I don't know if you can win it with him, but that's a guy that makes it interesting.
That is very interesting. You know, because the Bulls, I mean, they're kind of done.
I would agree.
In a nice way to put it, you know, they don't have the tools, and you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, get rid of all your crap when you don't have a chance. Try to rebuild a little bit. I mean, Jimmy Butler's great, but we're not going anywhere in the NBA right now.
No, I don't believe so. And so we're here at the end of Sporting Edge this week. I want to let you know that we are growing fast. Our media is getting out there. We are so thankful for all the people who listen to us. We are developing Facebook. We're developing email. We want to let you, the fans, the viewers of this show, the listeners of this show, to have your say. So feel free to tweet us. I'm at Roz for Roz on Twitter. Xander, you have yours, of course.
Yeah, mine is ZandyBoy13, B-O-I.
B-O-I, so he's a player. But yes, R-O-Z, the number 4, R-O-Z, and you'll find me. Perfect segue, and we'll see you guys next week here at the Sporting Edge.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.